This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتداه بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه آمين وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last week we covered those names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that were related to His Qudra, His ability and His power. And so today we move on to another set of names that are related to the ilm of Allah, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Qudra of Allah and His ilm, they come together. We spoke about that last week when we mentioned that from al-Qudra is al-Qadr, and al-Qadr is the decree of Allah, his predestination, and that is based on His ilm, that is based on His knowledge. So Allah knew and then He decreed based on His knowledge. And so the three names that we have today are Al-Alim, Al-Alim, and Al-Khabir. Al-Alim, Al-Alim, and Al-Khabir. As for Alim, it has been mentioned 13 times in the Quran. And each one of these times, it was not mentioned on its own, but rather it was mentioned with or added to Alimul Ghaib. Either Alimul Ghaib or Alimul Ghaibi wa Shahada. The knower of the unseen and the knower of the seen. It's not a name that's been mentioned on its own as Al-Alim. And that's why we should not say that Al-Alim is a name of Allah on its own. No. But rather, the name of Allah is Alimul Ghaib or Alimul Ghaibi wa Shahada. And so, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 94, ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. And then you will be returned to عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ, the knower of the unseen as well as the seen. فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. And then He will inform you of what you used to do. As for عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ, just عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Jinn, verse 26, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا. عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا. The knower of the unseen, and so He does not disclose any of it to anyone. Allah does not disclose knowledge of the unseen to anyone. And then He makes an exception, إِلَّا مَنِ ارْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولِ, except those who He pleases to be His messengers. He discloses some of the unseen to them. So this is عَالِم. Now عَالِم has also been mentioned in the plural form, referring to Allah, twice in the Quran. And so the first time is in, or both times in the same surah, Surah Al-Anbiya. And so in Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah says regarding Ibrahim alayhi salam in verse 51, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ وَكُنَّا بِهِ عَالِمِينَ. وَكُنَّا بِهِ عَالِمِينَ. And indeed we had granted to Ibrahim sound judgment early on, and we knew him very well. So here, Allah refers to Himself in the plural sense, and we spoke about this last week. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Himself in the plural sense. And so that happened with Al-Qadir. And so Qadirun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Himself in the plural sense. And we mentioned the significance of that. And the significance of that is to show the greatness of Allah. So whenever Allah is mentioned in the plural sense, it refers, or what we learn from that is that Allah is great. The other place in Surah Al-Anbiya where Alimin is mentioned in the plural sense, in verse 81, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُنَّا بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَالِمِينَ وَكُنَّا بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَالِمِينَ عَالِمِينَ, it is we who knew everything. It is we who knew everything. So this is Al-Alim. As for Al-Alim, this is one of the names that has been mentioned the most in the Quran. One of the names that has been mentioned the most. Al-Alim. And so it has been mentioned 157 times in the Quran. Al-Alim has been mentioned 157 times in the Quran. And so many times that we can't even mention, you know, I'll just mention one example. And so in Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in verse 62, Allahu yabsutu ar-rizqa liman yasha'u min ibadihi wa yaqdiru lah. Allah gives abundantly, or He limits provisions, ar-rizq, to whomever He wills of His servants. And then Allah concludes this ayah by saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Allah knows everything. He has full knowledge of everything. And Alim has been mentioned throughout the Quran in this way, that Allah knows everything. Just like we mentioned last week regarding Al-Qadir, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. It's been mentioned so many times in the Quran. Allah has full power over everything. Likewise, throughout the Quran we find إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا, that Allah has full knowledge of everything. As for Al-Khabir, it has been mentioned 45 times in the Quran. It has been mentioned 45 times in the Quran. And most of the time it has been mentioned with two other names. Al-Khabir, most of the time it has been mentioned with two other names. What other names are these? Most of the time it has been mentioned with, on its own, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ, or خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ, or خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ, which means that Allah is well acquainted, Allah is well aware of what you do. Allah is well aware of you do, of what you do. But it has been mentioned quite frequently with Al-Alim. Al-Khabir has been mentioned quite frequently with Al-Alim. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the story of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disclosing a secret to one of his wives, and that was Hafsa radiallahu anha. And so she went and told this secret to another wife, who was Aisha radiallahu anha. So Allah informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of that. And then he went and informed Hafsa radiallahu anha. So what did she say? مَن نَبَّأَكَ بِهَذَا? Who told you this? And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, قَالَ نَبَّأَنِيَ الْعَلِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. The one who told me about this is Al-Alim Al-Khabir. Al-Alim Al-Khabir, the all-knowing and the all-aware. And Al-Khabir has also been mentioned on its own many times in the Quran. And so, for example, in Surah Al-Adiyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَ إِذِلَّ خَبِيرٌ. Their Lord is well aware of them on that day. At the very end of Surah Al-Adiyat. So, what do these three names mean? They teach us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full knowledge of everything. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comprehends everything. That He is the one who is well aware of all things, even before they happen, even before they exist. The one who knows with certainty. The one whose knowledge of the past, the present, and the future is deeply rooted and complete in all respects. The one from whom no knowledge is concealed. Allah is the one who nothing is hidden from Him. He knows everything and nothing is concealed or hidden from Him. The one who is well aware of the complete details of all matters. And so this is generally the meaning of these names as it relates to Allah's ilm. As it relates to Allah's ilm, His knowledge. And we mentioned last week that the stages of Qadr are four. The stages that every single creation goes through in order to come into existence are four. The very first one is al-ilm, the knowledge of Allah. And then after that is the kitabah, the written decree. And then after that is the mashi'ah, the will of Allah. And then after that is the khalq, the creation of Allah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew. He knew. And so He wrote it down. And then He willed for its creation. And then its creation came into being. As for Al-Khabir, the difference between Al-Khabir and Al-Alim is that Al-Alim is the one who has general knowledge of everything. Al-Alim, which is the name for the attribute of Al-Ilm, it means all-encompassing knowledge of absolutely everything. On the other hand, Al-Khabir refers to the one who has knowledge of the finest details of things. Al-Khabir refers to the one who has knowledge of the minor details and the things that are generally hidden from most people. And that's why even if you want to say that someone is skilled in a certain field or a certain profession, you would not refer to him as Alim. Rather, you would refer to him as Khabir. Someone who has Khibra. He has knowledge of a certain skill that others may not have. And so we say that he is Khabir of such and such. We don't say he is Alim. Because that ilm, it could be shared with others. Whereas khibra is specific to certain matters that others don't know. That most people, in fact, don't know of. And so throughout the Quran, we find that Allah uses His name Al-Khabir to describe His knowledge of the small, minute things that most others don't know of. So an example is in Surah An-Nur, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the believing men to lower their gazes, what does Allah say? قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. tell the believing men to lower their gaze and guard their private parts. That is indeed purer for them. And then how does Allah conclude the ayah? إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ Surely Allah is khabir, all aware of what they do. How does this allude to Allah being khabir? Why did Allah use al-khabir here instead of al-alim? Because your sight and your gaze is something that you can hide from others around you. So you could be with your friends and you could be looking at something. In their sight, they think you're looking at something, but you could be looking at something else. You could be stealing glances at things you shouldn't be looking at. So no one knows that except Allah. So no one knows that except Allah, which is why he uses his name Al-Khabir here. To warn us. Yes, you may be able to hide your glances from others, but you can't hide it from Al-Khabir. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ Another example is in Surah Al-Adiyat. We mentioned this already. The last ayah of Surah Al-Adiyat. إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ Surely their Lord is all aware, Al-Khabir. He is all aware of them on that day. Although Allah is fully aware of everything about us, why does He specifically mention that He is fully aware of us on that day, on the Day of Judgment? It's because no one else will know what was deep down inside your heart except Allah. And so He will inform us of absolutely everything that we did apparently in front of the people in public, and as well as what we did privately, and not only that, but what we concealed in our hearts. And so that's why Allah tells us here that He is fully aware, He is khabir of us and everything about us on that day. أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ The ayat that come before this ayah. أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ Does he not know, the one who, when the bodies will come out from the graves? وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ And what is in the chests will become apparent. إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ And so these are the three names of Allah. Al-Alim, which as we said, is specific to the Ghaib and Al-Shahada, the seen and the unseen. Also another name that we didn't mention, Al-Allam, which also only comes with Al-Ghuyub, which is the plural of Ghaib. Allam Al-Ghuyub comes four times in the Quran. Allam Al-Ghuyub. And notice, it comes in the plural of Ghaib, Ghuyub. Allam al-ghuyub. And Allam is the one whose knowledge is a lot, abundant. And so Alim al-ghayb wa-shahada, Alim al-ghayb, Allam al-ghuyub, Al-Alim and Al-Khabir. These are the names that refer to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are the lessons that we can learn from these names? First of all, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlike the knowledge of any of His creation. No matter how much knowledge we have as human beings, it's a drop of an ocean, and not even a drop of an ocean, of the knowledge of Allah. Also, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlike our knowledge. And so it is not preceded by ignorance, nor is it followed by forgetfulness, contrary to human beings. There is no human being who had knowledge from the day he was born. وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Allah brought you out from the wombs of your mothers while you knew nothing. Nothing. شَيْئًا. Absolutely nothing. Zero knowledge. And then, you sought knowledge and you gained knowledge. So there was a time when you were ignorant, and then you became knowledgeable. And then after you gain knowledge, you lose that knowledge. You forget. You become old and you forget all the knowledge that you had. Returning, in some cases, with some people returning back to zero. And this is why the term used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to knowledge is al-ilm and al-khibra, as we mentioned. But not another term that is used in the Arabic language, which is what? Which is al-ma'rifah. Because al-ma'rifah refers to knowledge after no knowledge. Al-ma'rifah refers to having knowledge, gaining it after having no knowledge before. And that's why ma'rifah is usually referred to as education. In some Arab countries, the Ministry of Education is called Wizaratul Ma'arif. So Allah is not described as described as having ma'rifah, because that refers to gaining knowledge after not having knowledge. The second lesson that we learn from these names is that Allah's knowledge encompasses absolutely everything. He knows everything before it existed. Pre-eternally, the knowledge of Allah going to the eternal past has no beginning. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has no beginning. His attributes also have no beginning. They were with him from the eternal past without any beginning. Allah knew everything that would ever happen without there coming a time when Allah knew it. And this is something we cannot fathom. This is not something that we could fully understand or comprehend. It's something that we have to believe in. But we can explain it in this way. That which Allah has created has a beginning. And that's why the creation is called finite. Whereas the uncreated, and that is Allah, is infinite. And the meaning of infinity is has no beginning, has no end. And so the knowledge of Allah, Allah knew everything before it existed. And he knows about it once it exists. And he knows how its existence will end. Not only that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even knows that which will never exist. That which will never happen. If it was to exist, if it was to happen, Allah knows exactly how it would exist, exactly how it would happen. So Allah knows the past, He knows the present, He knows the future, and He knows that which will never happen, if it was to happen, how it would happen. And what this teaches us is to always refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows absolutely everything, and never to object to anything, saying, you know, if something goes wrong, some of us, we tend to say, if only I had done such and such, the result would have been different. If only I had done it this way, this would not have happened. Whatever happened, it happened, and you couldn't avoid it. Right? Because this is from the Qadr of Allah and His knowledge. Now, if it was to happen a different way, who who told you that the result would have been different? That knowledge is only with Allah. That's something that will never happen. If it was to happen, how it would happen is only known to Allah alone. So this teaches us to always refer matters to Allah. If things don't go the way that we please, we say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاعَ فَعَلْ. Allah decreed for it to happen, and whatever He willed, He did. And that's it. Don't say, if only I had done it this way, it would have happened like this. And this is why we have in the dua of al-istikhara, Allah teaching us about His knowledge, which is why we should refer matters to Him. Because the future is unknown to us. And so when we are in a situation where we cannot decide between doing something or not doing it because the result is hidden from us, it's in the future, who should we refer to? We should refer to Allah. And what do we say in that dua? Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmik. O Allah, I consult you through your knowledge, your ilm. Wa astaqdiruka biqudratik. And I seek strength through your strength, your power. Wa as'aluka min fadlika al-'azim. And I ask you of your great bounty. Fa innaka taqdiru wa la aqdir. For you have ability, you are capable, whereas I am not. وَتَعْلَمُ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ. And you know, and I don't know. وَأَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. And you are the knower of all hidden things. You are the knower of the future. And so if this thing is right for me, let it to happen for me. And if it is not, then avoid it for me. The third lesson that we learn from these names is one of the greatest lessons or fruits that should basically appear in our hearts after gaining knowledge of these names, is that these names should cause us to fear Allah, to feel a sense of the muraqabah of Allah, that He is watching us, He is knowledgeable of us, whether we are in public or in private. And so many times we fear doing certain things because people are watching us. But when we are away from the eyes of the people, we may do those same things, not realizing that Allah is watching us and He has full knowledge of us. He has full knowledge of us. Not only what we do, but even what we don't do. Our inner intentions and our inner thoughts, Allah has full knowledge of it. And this is what we just mentioned regarding Allah's name Al-Khabir, that Allah is well aware of things about us that others are not aware of us. And so these names should cause us to have a fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sense of being watched by Him. Fourthly, knowing that Allah knows everything before it happens, and that Allah wrote everything down before creating anything, should cause us to feel at ease and be content with whatever Allah has decreed for us. And so it was based on Allah's knowledge and His wisdom. And so if any evil touches us, then it was based on the qadr of Allah that is based on His knowledge. Nothing happens except by the will of Allah, and that is preceded by His knowledge. And so this should lead us to become content with whatever Allah has decreed, not allowing us to question or object to what Allah has decreed. لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. Allah is not questioned about what He does, but they will be questioned. This is a reminder from Allah. Who are you to be questioning Allah? The all-knowledgeable. The one who whatever he does is based on his knowledge and his wisdom. It may not seem right to you. You may not see the wisdom in it. But it is there. It is there. But it is concealed from you. So who are you to object to Allah, to be questioning Allah, when it is you who will be questioned, and that is on the Day of Judgment? قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Say, O Muhammad, nothing will touch us, whether it be calamity or mishap or misfortune, except what Allah has written. Whatever Allah has written to happen, it's going to happen. Once you understand this, and once you know about this knowledge of Allah, it makes you to feel content. Okay, whatever happened, it was based on the knowledge of Allah. It was based on the qadr of Allah. I should be content. Because there's no way I could have avoided it. And there has to be good in it. Even if I cannot see it. And inshallah ta'ala, we will cover more regarding this when we cover Allah's name, Al-Hakim, the most wise. The last lesson that we can learn from these names is that there are certain aspects of knowledge which Allah shares with His creation. And then there are those aspects which Allah does not share with anyone. Which are basically the keys of the unseen. And so the knowledge of Allah is divided into two. That which can be acquired by others, and that which can never be acquired by anyone, except whom Allah decides to allow to teach them. And so this material world that we can perceive through our senses is from the knowledge that Allah has allowed to share with us. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They have apparent knowledge of this dunya. And so the world of the unseen is specific to Allah. No one has knowledge of it except those whom Allah allows. As we mentioned in Surah Al-Jinn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا. That Allah is the knower of the unseen, and He does not disclose any of it to anyone. And then He says in the next ayah, إِلَّا مَنْ اِرْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولٍ. Except whom He pleases of messengers. Whether it be messengers from among the malaika, or from human beings. So knowledge of the unseen is only restricted to Allah, but He may teach it to His messengers. This is why we say that there is no room for science or the scientific method in trying to gain knowledge of the unseen, which includes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His existence, which includes life after death, which includes everything that Allah has told us about the world of the unseen, of the malaika, of the shayateen, of the jinn, and so on and so forth. The scientific method is restricted to this material world, the seen world. And no one can come and tell you, for example, prove to me that God exists through science. And this is, in reality, the main objection that atheists have in trying to prove the existence of Allah. Their claim that Allah cannot be proven because they're trying to use the scientific method. which is not possible. And so the point here is that Allah alone has knowledge of the unseen. And so the only way to know about Allah, about the world of the unseen, about the Akhirah, about life after death, is through the messengers. Because that knowledge is coming from Allah. That knowledge is coming from Allah. So there has to be a way of gaining knowledge of the unseen. But that method has to be through Allah. It cannot be through anyone else. So if anyone claims that such and such happens after death, he has to have evidence from who? From Allah. And so whoever claims to have knowledge of the unseen, then he is a kafir. Whoever claims the ghaib is a kafir. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even told his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to declare that he has no knowledge of the unseen. And yet he was who he was, the best of creation. قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي نَفْعًا وَلَا ضَرًّا إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Say, O Muhammad, I have no power to benefit or protect myself except by the will of Allah. وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ لَسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ السُّوءِ. If I had knowledge of the unseen, then I would have benefited myself enormously. And no harm would ever have touched me. Because if I had knowledge of the unseen, of the future, I could easily avoid whatever harm and evil that is supposed to touch me. But I have no knowledge of that. إِنْ أَنَا إِلَّا نَذِيرٌ وَبَشِيرٌ لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. I am nothing but a warner and a giver of glad tidings for those who believe. So who has knowledge of the unseen? Allah alone. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُ. And he has knowledge, he has the keys of the unseen. No one knows them except him. And these keys of the ghaib are five, mentioned in another ayah in the Quran, in Surah Luqman, at the very end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. Allah has knowledge of the hour. No one knows when the hour will come except Allah, the day of judgment. وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. And He sends down the rain. No one knows when rain will come and where it will land and how much will come down. وَمَا وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. This is the third. And he knows what is in the wombs of the mothers. No one knows that except Allah. And so these two things, knowledge of the rain and knowledge of what is in the wombs, some may object and say, you know, science today gives us that knowledge. No, that's not true. Science gives us some of that knowledge, but not all of it. And so no one knows exactly the details of what is in the wombs of the mothers, of the fetus. Sometimes it could be there before the doctors discover it, and how it will come out, and what will this person be. And the same thing with the rain. Sometimes the forecast will tell you that it rains and it doesn't end up raining. And so on and so forth. The fourth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَى. And no soul knows what it will earn tomorrow. Your rizq is something that is hidden from you in terms of your future rizq. وَمَا تَدْرِي, the fifth, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. And no soul knows in which land it will die. No one knows where they will die. You could be living in one place your entire life, but you could end up dying somewhere else. And so no one knows where he will die. And then Allah concludes, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. Indeed, Allah is Al-Alim, the All-Knowing, and Al-Khabir, the All-Aware. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us knowledge of His names and His attributes, and to make us from among those who benefit from this knowledge. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.